Week one in the NFL wraps up tonight. Two big games. You can watch them on TSN, hear them right here on TSN Radio. But there was a lot to get into from yesterday, on the field, off the field. And to do that, we're joined now by our TSN NFL analyst, former NFLer, co-host of FS1, Speak for Yourself. Here is Marcellus Wiley. What's up, Marcellus?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Just loving the first week of football, as you guys were, I'm sure.
Well, did you feel like Antonio Brown kind of hijacked not only training camp, but week one as well?
Yeah, man. Look at his present team and his former team hitting it out on primetime Sunday Night Football without him there, and he's still the conversation piece. So, yeah, it's crazy how this all has added up to where it's a big win for Antonio Brown. And you talk about landing the plane successfully despite a turbulent takeoff. That's where he is right now in terms of landing in that receiving core, landing on that team with their talent level and culture and aspirations. It's going to be hard to mess this one up if you're Antonio Brown with his talent level and hopefully his buy-in.
Marcellus, do you think this was all planned? I mean, do you think this was, I'm going to go to Oakland and screw it up so they get rid of me and I can end up playing for the New England Patriots? I don't know how you plan something like that or pull it off, but just take us from what you think happened behind the scenes, how this all went down.
No, this wasn't planned from the beginning. The origins of this, absolutely not. This is a guy who realized in short order that this was not the situation for him. And I could take you through that. But basically, this is a guy who navigated the waters and the waves based on him getting a little too far away from what he desired. So no one on purpose gets frostbite on their feet. So let's just be real about this. He didn't try from hell low to get this outcome. But something happened. I think one, landing there, just you have your own question marks about Derek Carr, whether you think he's still the former MVP candidate or you think that he's a guy that struggles, as we've seen at times. Whatever you think of him, it's not a lock that he is a tier one quarterback. So if you're Antonio Brown, do you want to really risk your Hall of Fame candidacy on a guy who has his own issues? So that's maybe strike one, but hey, you're still swinging for this team to be successful. And I think what really happened is after the frostbite, he started to lose a little support in the room, but nothing that made him go crazy. It was when the fines started to occur and the helmet issue and the support and then the mandate from Mike Mayock of, you either got to be all in or all out. And I think the fines and the all in or all out is what really took him to a different place. Then it became orchestrated. Then it became, okay, let's play ourselves out of this situation, in part because he knew the Patriots and others were sitting there giving him a robust market. So this is a guy that the Patriots tried to trade for in the first round pick in March. He knew through his agent and others that other teams were waiting for him whenever he would be available at this level of production. So somewhere midway through this process, I think it all added up and caved in on him, and he had a different decision to make, and now we have a different outcome.
Well, and I think it's pretty easy from my standpoint to explain why the New England Patriots would go down this road. Two things they've historically thrived off of: proving people wrong and having a target on their back, and bringing Antonio Brown in applies with both of those pillars. And I also think they understand what's going on here. Like they're in a year-to-year window. Like, yeah, Brady looked great last night, but he's still 42 when he leaves that stadium. And Patrick Mahomes looked even better down in the swamp, and he ain't going anywhere. So if Gronkowski doesn't come back, which I don't think anyone's convinced he will, Josh Gordon could be off this team tomorrow based on his history. Then all of a sudden you're looking at Brady, Edelman, and a couple of running backs who might do some damage. They had no tight end presence last night. I think they look at Antonio Brown, the Patriots, and say, we need him just as much as he needs us because we want to win a Super Bowl again.
Yeah, I think they do something remarkable despite all their success and despite all the noise that's happening with every team in the NFL, is that they truly keep their eyes on the prize, not only in terms of team construction, but in culture. So they tell everyone, our system is, we don't have a system. Basically, you have to buy into whatever works per week and per year. That's one. And two, we are really looking at building the best team available, not the most talented team, which I think gets lost. And a lot of teams try to construct the most talented team. They're trying to buy into a team that buys back into their culture and philosophy. That's one. And Antonio Brown is super productive, and in his DNA is humility. You don't come from being a six-round draft choice to a Hall of Famer, and then all of a sudden you've forgotten about being humble. You had to buy in as a six-rounder. You're one decision away from not even being on the squad. If you're not buying in when you're young as a six-rounder, you're out the league. So people have to understand a lot of his issues are near in terms of when did they all happen in the last calendar year or so. And this sounds just like Randy Moss when he left Oakland to come to the Patriots. Oh, he quit on his team. Oh, he's worrying about mooning people before, and he's not focused. He'll never be the same Randy Moss. And what happened when he went to New England? So to me, it sounds like we've been here before. We need to learn a lesson more so than New England does.
With Marcellus Wiley, more embarrassing outcome last night, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers or if you're the Cleveland Browns?
Woo! Man, Cleveland. That's a great question. Best question I'll answer today. I will say it's Cleveland. All right, Pittsburgh made a mistake that Cleveland did as well, but Cleveland doubled down on it. So Pittsburgh has to go on the road and play in Foxborough. Tom Brady's 5-0 at home against Pittsburgh. Really difficult task against this team. You don't match up well with them offensively, defensively, or in terms of team construction. It just never has worked. So now they walk into this game thinking they're better, in part because they lose Antonio Brown as a distraction. That's a bad sign and a bad mentality. You have to replace that production on the field. And off the field, it doesn't matter how close you guys are, how happy training camp feels, how good it felt to just be able to be with teammates that bought in. It only matters when that materializes, when that ball is kicked off. And I thought that they kind of bought into this narrative of fixing the symptoms and not the illness. They still have guys on that team that are not all in terms of what they need for this team to be successful. And Mike Tomlin talked about that postgame. Cleveland has all those issues, plus they were at home. And they've been selling it and talking it, and hopefully we're going to walk it in opening week. And they laid out their best suit the night before the game. They had all their friends and girlfriends in two or three different sections around the home stadium. I mean, this is post-pep rally. You're ready to go. And you lay that type of performance out there and get beat by 30 points at home, Baker Mayfield's worst college or pro loss, that's worse than even what Pittsburgh did. So for a team that talked a lot, they certainly didn't show a lot, and I think that's going to start to implode on them soon.
And Baker Mayfield was talking postgame. Here's what he said.
Because everybody's going to throw us in the trash. I think that's good. I know what type of men we have in this locker room, and quite frankly, I don't really give a damn what happens on the outside. I know how we're going to react. I know what we're going to do, how we're going to bounce back, and we got a Monday night game coming up. So we don't really care. Ready to go.
So, I mean, I got an issue with that because you spent all summer wanting people to listen to you, telling people that you're the man, telling people that you guys are the team to beat, and now after one game, you're going to play the chip on your shoulder game? I mean, I have a tough time hearing that from Baker Mayfield. What do you make of that comment?
Yeah, it doesn't land well, even though he always plays the chip on his shoulder card. Like, that's who he is. He's a twice walk-on in college who became a Heisman Trophy winner, who wasn't supposed to be the number one overall pick and became just that and had a damn good rookie year. So I understand the chip on your shoulder play. I'm not really in favor of the we don't care what's going on outside the locker room, because if you don't, then your intended audience wouldn't always be outside the locker room, because what he shares is not for his locker mates and teammates to consume. It's for us to consume. You don't do GQ articles and stuff and get misquoted or taken out of context if you're not talking to a grander audience than the other 52 guys. Like, we don't give a damn what you do outside the game, tell you the truth. We understand that it's about us going on this field and balling together. But when you bring in all these other variables, let's just be honest about it. You're bringing them in because you care and you want it. And you want the love that comes from outside. You want the attention. You want the money. And it's funny, when it doesn't come the way you want it, you don't give a damn. That's where I got a problem. Like, well, I've never, ever said jump in front of me. I remember meeting him during the draft process, and he had a camera crew with him doing, I guess, his documentary that was out. And I'm like, that ain't for your teammates. That's for us. So if you're doing all this for us, don't get mad when we don't necessarily like the results. Don't forget what got you there. I'm going to end it with this. My coach used to always say, do not come to practice on a red carpet. That means all that stuff that's going on outside that is making you feel good and lovely, thinking you're the man, has nothing to do with this game of football. So don't you ever step on this field thinking you something that you're not. You're just another contributor to this team and for this game.
You ever play one game in the season and then call your agent right after the game and say, get me the hell out of here?
This story is interesting. I don't know how much truth is to it. I'm not trying to throw shade at whoever's reporting that, but that, no. Hell no, I've never done that. One, I've been on a team that was 0-3 in Buffalo. 0-3. And our franchise quarterback went down in Rob Johnson. We ended up 10-6 and made the playoffs. So it's too early, literally, to throw in the towel on any team, including the Miami Dolphins, including the Cleveland Browns, or whoever else you're going to think of. But with that said, there's been a lot of noise coming out of Miami, man. Poor Brian Flores, man, didn't know what culture he was really getting himself into, whether it was players taking shots at the owner, or it's just the fact that they gutted this entire roster of veteran presence in the offseason, the tanking, rumors or suspicions, and now this report of guys calling their agents. Look, if you called your agent, the agent's about to have to call the organization, and we're going to get to what's real about this conversation. If you really want to go, I know one thing about the NFL. They're not trying to hold anybody hostage. So if you don't want to be here, it is not a birthright. It's a privilege. So if those guys really want to get up out of town, we're going to really see some transactions occur really soon.
Great stuff. As always, Marcellus, enjoy the rest of week one tonight. We'll do it again next Monday.
All right, guys. Take care, brothers.
There's Marcellus Wiley, a longtime NFLer and co-host of Speak for Yourself on FS1.